Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
We welcome back, everyone, to the As for Football College Football Roundtable. I'm your host, Rob. We got Dan here as well. Joe is coming. He's having some technical difficulties, so we may have to change a little bit of the format. But yeah, don't lose a finger. It's not a good time, especially here's your safety note. We're moving into Thanksgiving. There's going to be a lot of sharp utensils in the kitchen. You know, Dano injured himself not working in the kitchen. However, if you have sharp knives when you're going to be cutting into your turkey or ham or whatever you choose to partake of on Thanksgiving, make sure that you cut away from your body, folks. Anyway, speaking of cutting away from your body, we're going to cut away and get into the intro of the show. We're coming to the end of the conference schedule. Most of the teams are pretty much locked in. We know who's going to go where, with the exception of the SEC, looking at an 8-way tie, if you can believe that. That's just madness. So that's what you get for going away from divisions. But there's a few games of substance left on the schedule. Rivalry week is coming pretty soon. And, you know, to me, it doesn't have the same level of gravity as it has in previous years with all the conference realignment. I'm sure it's going to work itself out. I'm hopeful that it is. But, hey, we will see what happens. Welcome back, Trash Talkers. This is the College Football Roundtable. If you prefer Ring Knocker Radio, you got the two Ring Knockers here. Joe is coming. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa in Coastal Connecticut. And Joe will be joining us from the home of the Big House when he gets here. Anyway, Dano, what'd you do this weekend? Elaborate a little bit more on your story if you choose.
So, aside from almost cutting my finger off, I had a rough one, honestly. I enjoyed the hell out of college football Saturday, but then Saturday night, I had a bunch of beers and then pulled my back. And then Sunday, I damn near cut my finger off. I'm telling you, if this podcast was a football game, I'd be doubtful right now. We're playing hurt. I don't know what to tell you. I watched this week some of what became a legitimately thrilling contest between ECU and Tulsa Thursday night. Watched the Mean Green just fall apart on the road at UTSA on Friday. You know, I feel bad for North Texas because they caught a tough break, right? You play Army at home, then you catch UTSA at their place, which is a hell of a tough place to play.
That
with
is.
With the Roadrunners coming off a bye. Like, that is not an easy thing to do. And yeah, UTSA took it to them. Then Navy just got their asses handed them by Tulane. Good Lord. As soon as they knocked out Blake Horvath, you just knew it was going downhill. Notre Dame rolled Virginia. Air Force rolled Oregon State. I don't know where this Zoomy team has been all season, but that looks like a real football team now all of a sudden. And man, I thought Tennessee looked good for a half at Georgia. Went to sleep, you know, woke up the next morning half dead, and find out that they got destroyed. So they were half dead too.
Yeah, the dogs realize that they're the dogs. You know, it's pretty scary though. Like when you look at Georgia, you know, Carson Beck has thrown 17 touchdowns going into that game and 12 interceptions. Not a good ratio, particularly not a good ratio for an SEC quarterback of his caliber. So I ended up watching, you know, I started my Saturday slate watching the Army-Navy Sprint football game.
That was a great game.
Yeah, that was one of the best contests I've seen in a while. And if you haven't gotten a chance to go, like, Shea Stadium is pretty cool. It's down by the river, so it's a good opportunity to check out Sprint football. 29th undefeated season in 68 years, which is pretty impressive as well. Again, highly encourage you to check that one out when you get the chance if you're at West Point for any particular reason. Watch the Buffs slip past the Utes, man. Is Cam Rising coming back next year? That's the question that I had out of that whole game. Like, that guy's got to graduate. I think he's medically injured again, so he might have another red shirt, but who knows what is going on with that guy. Like, he is now becoming, he just needs to change his last name to Harris and be Cam Rising Harris and go play for UTSA. Hey, I watched Texas look mortal against Arkansas. Like, we mentioned it last week. It's like, hey, nobody's paying attention to Texas, and they didn't give us a reason to pay attention to him against Arkansas. Tulane, hey, they bludgeoned the mids, man. Like, I expected something out of Navy, but you know, it looked pretty sour. And then again, in the mother of all upsets in the SEC, you know, Florida beat LSU. Who saw that coming? massive, massive, massive issue with the SEC right now, because you've got a bunch of two-loss teams. Who do you send to the playoff, and how do you create a championship game knowing full well that you used to have divisions, so you know division champions went. Now that there's no divisions, how do you settle, you know, all that mix and matching with all the things that are going on?
Yeah, they outsmarted themselves a good bit. I think that they just assumed that they'd have at least one super team, and since it doesn't look like they have a super team, now they got a mess.
Yeah, and speaking of super team, we have somebody that will team with you to get you into a home. If you're PCSing to the Fort Liberty area, it's probably going to change to Fort Bragg. Who knows with the new administration? We have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes. And when you're in the market, she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, let Jocelyn be your first call. Jocelyn's decided to support us here at Ask for Football. She's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. Back over to you, Dano, for Service Academy standings.
Yeah, so Army had a bye this week. And as long as we're like looking ahead to rivalry weekend, the Roadrunners coming to Mikey Stadium is probably the nastiest rivalry that the Black Knights have in the American Conference. I don't know if y'all have realized this, but the home team has never won that game. So hopefully Army will break that streak this year, but that's not the nastiest rivalry. Obviously, you know, Navy and Air Force are bigger rivalries, but Army versus UTSA, that's a real rivalry that those teams care about. Of course, we got Notre Dame this week. Mids, we talked about it. They just got smoked by the Green Wave, 35-0. I don't even think Tulane's offense looked all that good, but Navy just didn't do anything, you know. And Horvath went out with the rib injury, tried to come back in. The Green Wave, literally on his first play back, sacked him, hit him in the ribs, sent him back out. I mean, that was a tough way to make a living.
Yeah.
And Braxton Woodson came in. Listen, it's fine, but he was never, you know, it's like trying to replace Bryson Daly. Like these, the starting quarterbacks are the starting quarterbacks for a reason. And then, as we said, you know, Air Force absolutely steamrolled Oregon State 28-0. Like, I thought Oregon State would at least put up a fight. They looked terrible. Where has this Air Force team been all season? Like, these guys look like a real Service Academy team all of a sudden. They went to a new starting quarterback, Quentin Hayes. Hayes is a good quarterback. Like, that guy is good.
Solid.
Yeah, we saw that in the Army game, you know, and he is 1,000% better than the guy they were starting earlier in the season. Look, the Zoomies have Nevada, who is, I think, winless this season, and San Diego State that's got one or two wins left on their season. They could amazingly still get the 5 wins. If they had somehow pulled it out at home against Colorado State, this team would be going bowling in all likelihood.
Yeah,
think about
that's
that.
Crazy. Yeah, that's insane.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's insane for them to go, particularly as long as they went this season without like a FBS win. It's like, you know,
they were dead. And we were ready to call the corner. So anyway, non-FBS service academies, I am shocked to tell you that the Coast Guard Academy jumped all over Merchant Marine Academy and did not surrender. They earned the Secretary's Cup 42-21. The Division III Academy season is over. Both teams end with 5 wins. What a great win for the Coasties. That is a great win. Good for them.
Yeah, because nobody saw that coming. Like they're significantly down in that matchup over time. And Secretary's Cup, that seems pretty cool. Again, like if you haven't got a chance to go to the Coast Guard Academy and check it out, that's actually a nice little spot. I mean, it really is. It's like if you could imagine, you know, Annapolis with much nicer people, that's probably what I would describe the Coast Guard Academy. You know, same level of like water and food and all that other stuff, you like fresh seafood and all that good stuff. But like just personality-wise, I think it's a little bit more acceptable for me to go down to New London than it would be to go to Annapolis. So we'll run around the American really quick. And the game of the week, of course, to not sound like a homer, but it's pretty obvious, Army versus Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. I think that's going to be the biggest game in the American this week. That is the marquee matchup. However, the other game to take a look at is going to be ECU and North Texas. I mean, that might be the best game to watch this week. ECU's on a tear. They've won 2 in a row. UNT is, you know, had his 5th straight chance to get its 6th win to get bowl eligible, which is insane because like they start off pretty hot. They're one of the most prolific offenses in the American. They just can't get it done. Like they're losing shootouts, which is insane. So that means, you know, of course their defense is not where it needs to be, but you know, we'll see. ECU is bowl eligible. Like who saw that coming, right? They made a quarterback change. Well, I mean, we had talked about it earlier in the season, you know, like everybody was highlighting ECU, and ECU is probably the best team in North Carolina right now, which is...
Yeah, that's true. That's nuts.
Which is madness because, you know, we really would have thought we got more out of Duke and UNC, but those, again, the basketball schools mean what they are. UTSA has a trap game coming up against Temple. Like, if they get caught looking towards that game against Sprite against Army at Mikey Stadium, like, they could get caught by Temple pretty simply. And then, of course, USF at Tulsa. USF needs this win to get bowl eligible. Tulsa's lost its last two and need as many wins that they can get before they get to the end of the season. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that one. I don't know what's happening. Joe is not here, so I'm going to do the CFP rankings for week 13. Of course, keep in mind this will adjust tomorrow night at 1900. So for those of you guys that are fans, you can jump on and see what the changes are. But Oregon stays number one. I, you know, if I'm the committee, do I switch them with Ohio State? Because, you know, one of those two teams did not look impressive this weekend. The Ducks escaped Madison, Wisconsin, the 3-point W, and they were happy to get out of town. Like, they did not look good in that game. I mean, they got run all over. Their defense did not look solid. Something's happening in Oregon. I call it the tail end of the season, but you guys know my stance on that. Ohio State put a beating on Northwestern. At least it was at Wrigley Field. You know, at least if you're going to lose, it's going to be nice. Buckeyes are, you know, going to Indiana. That's probably going to be a good game. That's probably the top game in the Big Ten this weekend is those guys playing. Texas beat the Razorbacks, looked mortal, and they're going in against the Kentucky team that will sneak up on you and punch you in the face. So that's going to be a good matchup. Nittany Lions crushed Purdue in front of their home crowd, 49-10. They travel to Minnesota on Saturday. The Hoosiers were off this week, and they need to practice. They're prepping to go against the Buckeyes. BYU certainly going to fall out of the top 10 or the top 5. They may fall out of the top 10 just given the fact that they lost to the Kansas Jayhawks, unranked team, 17-13, which is amazing. Tennessee, hey, played it tight, you know, against the Bulldogs in the first half.
They just lost everything. I mean, they had the pole position in the SEC.
Yeah.
And they, you know, bad half of football. There you go.
Yeah, truly that. Well, they have an opportunity to redeem themselves because they play UTEP this Saturday, take the over. Notre Dame beat the Virginia Cavaliers 35-14. Hey, Yankee Stadium, Army Black Knights this weekend. Miami is off for a week for the Canes. They play Wake Forest on Saturday. Bama versus Mercer. I think that's like almost a semi-annual or annual contest with that's their cupcake that they play every year. Mercer took the check and a 52-7 beating as Bama got ready in their tune-up game for the Iron Bowl. The Ole Miss Rebels were off on Saturday, and they've got the Gators that are resurging. And if you're paying in Jacksonville, it's, you know, it's a 50-50 shot that you come out there with a W. And then Georgia probably made the biggest statement of the weekend by trouncing Tennessee. Georgia has UMass this weekend.
Right. That's ahead of what's going to be a competitive Georgia Tech game.
Yeah, which is for real because Tech is not doing so bad. Top 25 losses. So this is back to the AP. LSU dropped to a lost in the swamp to the Gators 27-16. Missouri lost to South Carolina, a close one. Stanford defeated Louisville, which is crazy on Cardinal action. You've got the season killers of Kansas took BYU's 17-13. Already mentioned Tennessee and part of you put their drink down to take it to the Kansas.
I watched that one. That was a good game.
24-14. I'm surprised that ASU played that well. It was a good game. I mean, it was a fun game to watch. Not so sure why there's such a big discrepancy between the AP top 25, the coaches poll, and the college football playoff committee. I mean, it's like this is almost as bad as the BCS. You know, like when you think about it, we complained about the BCS because there were so many discrepancies between the computer and the coaches poll and what the sports writers were saying. Now we have a 12-team playoff and we're right back to where we were with the BCS shenanigans because now it's the eye test or strength of schedule or whatever else it is. It's very annoying these days.
I feel like they've given Army every chance in the sense that, you know, they put the Black Knights in the top 25 and you've got Notre Dame. So if the Black Knights can somehow knock off Notre Dame, then who knows what will happen. That'll be a big statement win, and it probably will mean something. But I will be pissed if, you know, we wind up getting like three loss SEC teams in there, but we can't get, you know, Boise State and undefeated Army if it comes to it. And I have no idea if it's going to come to it, but this does seem to be what they're trying to set up, is one group of five team, no matter what else happens.
Yeah. And it sucks because it's like, we really would like to, you know, if Army and Boise State are the two best teams that are in the group of five, give them a shot. If they're conference champions, you know, at some point, I don't think people would complain if they're conference champions, you know, make it in there regardless of record. You know, I think most people would be willing to accept that. And again, it goes back to, hey, college football playoff committee, Army fans travel. So if you want, you know, if you're trying to do it purely for the sake of money, then Army's your team. You know, like if it comes down between, you know, the fan base that travels with the guys in the group of five, I think Army is the strongest fan base out of all of them, if not the best team. But it's pretty
weird. It is what it is.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the topic. We're trying to get Joe in. He's having some weather issues on his end. He's trying to jump on. But, you know, topic this week, and of course, the Firsty Club is always allowed and able to jump in if you want and talk about, you know, what's been the biggest upset of the 2024 season. You know, I'm going to go back and call it from this weekend and say it's got to be BYU getting upset by Kansas. I think BYU is vulnerable because they got by Utah in a really, really close game that they should have lost. And so I think this is just like the universe correcting itself. But pass it over to Dano, and then we'll let Joe jump in after he is back on.
So I feel like folks have forgotten that Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame early.
Oh, good one, Dano.
I don't know about you, but that I thought was a pretty big upset. And then everybody was like, oh, I guess NIU is just one of the best teams in the group of five. No, not really. They're not even the best team in the MAC or close. Vanderbilt ran over Bama, in case we forgot that one. I will agree with you. Kansas over BYU, like, that was shocking. And then finally, Tulsa with their second half comeback against UTSA like 2 weeks ago, they were down 35-7 at the half. They came back and won 46-45. The Golden Hurricane have basically looked terrible every other time all season except for that one half of football. It is nuts. And I'm not like they looked okay against ECU, don't get me wrong, but they're not really in danger of beating anybody. You know, that ECU team threw three interceptions and they still won convincingly.
That doesn't help your case when the other team is giving you more opportunities. Joe, how about you?
You know, I'm going to go with one that you guys haven't mentioned, maybe because both teams were ranked, but what Ole Miss did to Georgia was shocking to me. And I know that wasn't like the season crusher like BYU's was because it was in the third quarter of the season, but no one expected that. Maybe Ole Miss to hang in the game and keep it competitive, but not to dominate and be able to run and stop Georgia's run. But and then Vandy beating Alabama was huge, because that was a big spread coming into the game. And after that, we realized Vandy isn't scared. And let me apologize for the technical difficulties. We had some internet issues up here due to some weather. So had to switch locales.
You're muted, Dano.
Sorry. Before we go on, Joe, you wrote a great piece this week for Astro Football. Brendan commented on it. I've gotten a lot of comments. So just congratulations. And if you haven't read it, Joe put out a pretty good, nice piece about what Army football means to him as a you know, combat infantry NCO, and I think it's worth your time.
Is okay if I caveat on that?
Yeah, please.
I'm very flattered and humbled. I was like, to me, it's an honor to write that kind of stuff, and it's important because Rob asked me for the viewpoint from somebody who isn't a West Pointer. You know, who what do I see? But I still share that common ground that I served you. So I tried to bring some of that to it, and it was heartfelt. So the compliments mean a lot to me.
Yeah. I was going to plug it at the end of the show, but we got a little bit of time right now. And I was going to say, like, if you haven't checked that out, that's probably a really great article to invite friends and family that have never served at West Point to kind of take a look at Astro football and see what it's about. Because it's not only, you know, I think there's a stigma that we're starting to overcome, and the more national attention that Army gets, I think more people will become Army fans. But the reality of it is most people assume that, like, oh, you have to be a graduate to root for the Army football team, which is not the case. You know, yes, the title of the podcast is Ask for Football, so that is kind of an in-joke for those of us that graduated, but it doesn't mean that you don't care about college football any more or less than anybody else as a college football fan. And if you're an Army fan, there's plenty of room on this, you know, how many people can you fit in a deuce and a half? One more, you know, that's that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's how we tend to carry on as the fan base here for Army football.
Go ahead, a lot of that is because of how close knit of how tight you guys' circle is and how huge the network is. You know, it's just, I learned a lot about that from doing this show with you guys. The power of the West Point network, I mean, that's only the way it is because you guys are so close knit. And I think, honestly, it's a little intimidating to some people because officers are squared away. Like, they, you know, it's like some people are like, is it okay to be in this group? And it's like, man, jump on, because Army needs all the support they can get. But yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what a tight knit group you guys are and just how long down the road you carry those connections.
So I'll just take that and segue and say that we are a tight-knit group, and one of the reasons that we still have this podcast is because Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago, sponsors us because he is a member of the West Point class of 1994. And, you know, like you say, West Pointers, like, there's only 50,000 of us walking on planet Earth. Like, we tend to stick together. Craig is licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And it matters because the mortgage process is super confusing. You got interest rates moving all over the place. Whole government's about to change over. You know, no idea what's going to happen with all that stuff. You'd really, really like to deal with somebody you feel like you can trust, who is a West Point graduate. And regardless of whether you're a West Pointer or not, like, call a guy who will talk to you on the phone, right? And as we said, this is how the network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at Astro Football. We're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet. Plus, he does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, you can do that. Craig will help you do that. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. Links on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. You'll find his little business card there, or, along with our other sponsors. Click on that. You'll be talking to Craig, or for that matter, Jocelyn or anybody else, you know, in like 5 minutes.
All right. Thanks, Dano. Hey, so we're moving into the games of the week. You know, I still think it's insane that the MAC plays games on Tuesday, but I actually kind of like it because it gives you something to watch on Tuesday night that's not just regular boring television.
Get the MACtion, baby.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't like MACtion? So we kick off Akron at Kent State, 7 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. You got Western Michigan and Central Michigan playing on ESPN2. NIU at Miami of Ohio on ESPN at 8 o'clock. Wednesday, you got Buffalo and Eastern Michigan, Ohio and Toledo playing. And then, hey, this is an odd matchup on Thursday night, but this is going to be a good one. I would highly encourage everybody to check out North Carolina State and Georgia Tech. I think that's going to be a good game. That's one of my picks this week. Friday, you got Temple at UTSA, trap game. Purdue at Michigan State. Hey, you know, I want to comment about Michigan State. I think Aiden Childs is coming along as a quarterback. I don't know how much he's going to want to stay at that program. If he continues to play the way that he's playing, I'm assuming he's probably going to get poached at the end of the year, would be my guess. Moving on, you got UNLV and San Jose State at the nightcap on Friday. Moving into Saturday matchups, got Pitt at Louisville. That became an interesting contest because Pitt is on a slide. SMU at Virginia. That'll be an interesting one just because can SMU keep it up? Virginia has been playing pretty tough first half and not being able to close out games. If they can get up on SMU, it's possible that they can win. Don't foresee it happening, but that might be a better contest than we think. Wake Forest at Miami. We'll see if Miami can shake off that loss. I would not want to be on the road as the Demon Deacons going down to Miami, having to play a one-loss Miami team that lost a close one. Old Miss at Florida, that's a trap game for sure for Old Miss. Hey, like,
Florida's tougher than their record.
Yeah, Like, if you watch that game, you're like, where was this team in the first half of the season? Mm-hmm. Like, that's
a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, too. Yep.
But, you know, and we've talked about it earlier this season, that goes to, like, how long does it actually take for kids to come in from the transfer portal to gel with the rest of the teammates?
Yep.
Right? I mean, how long does it take? It's pretty interesting to see that. Got North Carolina State or North Carolina and Boston College kicking at noon on the CW. Weird channel, good game. I think that'll be better than the experts think. UConn at Syracuse. Sorry, UConn. Yeah,
they're 7-3. I mean,
crazy
stuff's happened.
Yeah, true. And Syracuse, if Kyle McCord doesn't have a great game, like, who knows? You got Indiana, Ohio State. That's a marquee matchup in the Big Ten this week. I mean, somebody's O's. Well, Ohio State doesn't have to worry about their O going away, but hey, they might put it on Indiana, and that's going to shake up things because right now, you know, you're looking at two of the four teams that are in the semis right now, potentially. Who knows? You got UMass at Georgia. That's going to be a blowout unless freaking Carson Beck throws 87 interceptions. You got UTEP at Tennessee. James Madison at App State. That should be a good one in old Boone, North Carolina. Vanderbilt taking on LSU. Vandy has not been the same since they, like, got that upset victory. They have, like, spiraled hard. We'll see if they can bounce back, but they're playing in Death Valley at night. That's a pretty tall order for them. Got Texas A&M at Auburn and East Carolina, North Texas. Encourage everybody to watch that one. Kentucky at Texas. I'm telling you, that's going to be a much better game than the experts think because Kentucky has a really good defense. Most of the time, the reason why they're losing games is not because their defense isn't playing well. It's because the other, you know, their offense just can't get going. And so, literally, if you score 17 points, you might win that game if you're Texas. And given the way that Texas has played the last couple of weeks, you might only get 17 points.
Mm.
Arkansas, they had trouble finishing drives all game against Arkansas.
Yeah, and for sure.
Kentucky plays really good D. So, that's going to be interesting. I can see Kentucky keeping that thing tied at the half.
Yeah, well, the other part of it is like, what do you do with Quinn Ewers? Because he has not been good since he came back after that injury. And if you're Sark, you know you've got Arch Manning, but Arch Manning got slapped around last time he came in extremis. So what do you do as a coach in that situation?
Jaden Blue, I hand him the ball 25 times.
Yeah.
They did it all day against Michigan. They can do it. Michigan may be bad this year, but their defense is still carrying that team. So if Texas can do that to Michigan, they should just get back to the basics and stop making everything look so, you know, let's make it look sexy for ESPN. Just go win a national title between the tackles. Because, I mean, they can do it. They got a great line.
Yeah, they really do. They just need to keep coming downhill. Northwestern at Michigan. That one's going to be an interesting game just because I think both of those teams are kind of middle of the herd this season. You know, so I was thinking about this today, and I'll put this out here as food for thought. Don't need an answer. But do we think that if Michigan wouldn't have made it into the playoff last year, they would have had that mass exodus and been the team that they are this season? Because they had 17 people opt for the draft, right? So if Sherrone Moore had the talent that he had last year on the offense and defensive side of the ball as the head coach, do you think they'd be in the same predicament that they are this year? Had they been held out intentionally? And the reason why I say that, you know, because there's going to be a boatload of discussion about the college football playoff. I think everybody's going to be talking about it from now until the actual games happen. But say if we put Florida State in, they get exposed as a fraud early, right? They lose out, probably get steamrolled by Bama or Georgia, right? And I think really the reason why the playoff played out the way that it did last year is because the college football playoff committee does not like Ohio State, does not like Bama, right? Seriously, you know, doesn't like Bama, man. Doesn't like Ohio State, don't want to see
Clemson. They could love Bama more. Come on. I don't know about that.
I think they love Bama, but to touch on Sherrone Moore, if you just give him the same players – yeah, I think he's right back there. They maybe have one loss, but he coached that team for four games with Harbaugh not even be allowed to be on the sidelines. And it wasn't some cupcake games. He went to Penn State and won with that team. This isn't Sherrone Moore's fault, and I hate to dogpile on the guy in his first year, because he got handed the crappy end of the stick. You know, Harbaugh knew what he was going to do. He gutted the place. And, you know, good for you. You know, beat Ohio State three times in a row, won three Big Ten titles and a natty. Thank you. Good luck to you in your future endeavors. I have no hard feeling towards Harbaugh. Not to mention the LA Chargers look like a dangerous team right now. But I think Sharon does just fine if you put that same talent back in place. I really do. I think he lost a ton. They got caught with their pants down at quarterback, like in an embarrassing way.
Yeah, and that's the only reason why I asked, because, again, like that's always going to be speculation. I think Florida State worked itself out by losing. I think Washington worked itself out by losing. Like, they don't look as good either because of the exodus, because coach left and all those players took off. And so I think, you know, name, image, and likeness is starting to impact even teams that were in the playoff last year. So it's going to be interesting to see moving forward with the expanded playoff of what people do, because, like, hey, am I going to pull pitch early and leave because I know that, like, I may have an offhand chance of getting in or not. But moving on, so speaking of people trying to get in, you got number 17, Colorado at Kansas. Kansas is now the spoiler maker, so they have taken the crown from Purdue and put it on their head, and they are trying to chip away at everybody's opportunity to get into the playoff. Colorado, I think, controls their own destiny. You know, they have to win out. And, hey, you know, make no mistake, like Travis Hunter, if he is not on the top of your checklist for the Heisman Trophy, I don't know who is. You know, everybody else is kind of falling away, but I legitimately think that that he's the best player in college football.
Oh, he is. He is. I watched a lot of that game, and he's different.
Yeah,
he's just different. The way watching him play around those guys and track a ball the way he does, it's insane. He goes up 3 feet higher than anybody else, gets hammered in the process, does the John Elway helicopter, and gets up already celebrating. Like, he's just, it's like watching a different type of athlete.
Yeah, he's certainly in a class by himself. And I mean, I think the reality of it is like, you have to ask yourself, you know, would Colorado have the record that they have if Travis Hunter wasn't on the team?
I think it hurt a lot more if Shador wasn't there, but I don't think, I don't know. They've got a pretty good set of receivers. They're really underrated, but I don't think they're as good without him, but they'd be, I think they have a losing record without Shador Sanders.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he was running for his freaking life in that game.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my Blue Falcon of the Week coach is the offensive line. I'm dead serious. It was bad, man.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Penn State at Minnesota, that's a trap game. Like, anybody playing Minnesota in the Big Ten, especially at their place, like, you can get upset for sure. BYU at Arizona State, that's another one, man. They've got back-to-back oofs. You know, I mean, Arizona State, you know, came in, got a sneaky one last week as well against K-State. K-State's a good squad, so it'll be interesting to see. Moving on, you got Washington State at Oregon. Oregon State, I'm sorry. Like, what happened to them? They melted down this weekend. You got Boise State at Wyoming. Should be a win. But, again, Boise is not looking as strong as they did the first half of the season. So, like, we're starting to see this role reversal of teams. You got Bama, Oklahoma. That'll be an interesting game. You got Army taking on Notre Dame in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. I think that's going to be one of the best games of the week.
Let's go, boys.
Not because I'm an Army fan, just because it's a ranked-on-ranked matchup late in the season. I mean, what more do you want? You know, Air Force at Nevada, they're trying to pull out another couple wins. UCF at West Virginia. That's actually going to be an interesting game because, like, ever since UCF got punched in the face by Colorado, they have not been the same team. Like, have not come close to that. So we'll see what happens. And then the nightcap is going to be Arizona at TCU, if those of you guys that care. And you got Cincy at K-State. That might be an interesting game since the Wildcats just lost. But all that being said, it is time to pause and move into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
All right, Dano, what you got?
So I went 1-1 last week with two picks. ECU definitely did not cover against Tulsa, but they did get the win, as we said, despite throwing three interceptions. And UT at Georgia scored 48 against an over-under of 48.5. So I got it on the hook, baby. That's how we like it.
Nice.
Two wishes of balls would have been on the winning side, but what can you do? This week, Temple at UTSA -16.5. We touched on this already, but the Roadrunners are a completely different team at home than they are on the road. Temple won a game, fired their coach. Like, I just don't think that's going to be a close game at all. I think the Roadrunners are road running. And then ECU plus 2.5 at North Texas. That's a nutty line. I mean, that line is insane. They should be given 2.5 there. If you haven't noticed, ECU is good on both sides of the ball, whereas North Texas is only good on one side of the ball. And Air Force plus 3.5 at Nevada. Like, that line is nuts too. Nevada is terrible. I don't know what these guys are talking about. But anyway, give me all that. All
right, cool. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I went 2-2 as the Illini and Memphis covered for me. But Tennessee sure didn't, and Cincinnati sure didn't. So went 500. But I got three picks this week, and the first one's crazy, but stay with me. The Owls of Kennesaw State plus 9.5 at home against the 3-7 FIU. I don't is it wow. FIU the Panthers? Listen,
a deep cut.
Listen, this team has been to overtime in its last two games, and they beat Liberty. The last four games, they've been within a touchdown or tied at the end of the game, and FIU is not that good. Their mascot is Scrappy the Owl. I think they're going to be scrappy, and they're going to keep it very close against FIU. Two is Arkansas State minus 3 at home against University of Louisiana Monroe. Louisiana Monroe's on a 4-game skid, and Arkansas State's been playing pretty tough lately. They just beat Georgia State, and I think they're trending upwards. And my last pick is Missouri minus 8 at Mississippi State. There's not a whole lot more to say than Mississippi State is bad. They're very bad, and Missouri needs this win more than they do. I think they go in and get it by 2 scores. So I got Missouri minus 8.
Nice. Yeah, so I went 1-2 last week, which sucks. I should have just taken ECU for the outright win. They scored, but they didn't score enough. So I had them at 11, minus 11.5. If I would have taken that other line that hit later in the week, it was plus 7, I would have won. Yeah. But it is what it is. Sticking with the, you know, I had Tulane, scored enough points. Navy didn't contribute. That was part of the reason why they went under. And then, of course, Northwestern covered against Ohio State, but that was garbage. That was a terrible cover, but I'll take it. This week, take the under of Georgia Tech and NC State. I think Georgia Tech is a much better team than NC State. I want Tech to win it outright, but they only tend to lose in the wide open game. So if they could get ball control and play good defense, I think it'll be a low scoring game. They'll win against NC State. Take Boston College to win outright against UNC. Like, I don't understand how you get a spread of a point one and a hook. Like, I'm going to go all in for the Eagles. I think
I almost picked that game, too. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I think
I like your ECU pick this week, Dano. I almost took that one.
Yeah, I think UNC has been up and down all season. And the Eagles are at home, and they need the win for bowl eligibility. So I think they have more to play for. So I think they'll come away with that one, and they'll keep their postseason hopes alive. And take the under a 42.5 of Iowa and Maryland. The reason why I say that is because Iowa does not score a lot of points, and Maryland is bad. And so Iowa's like a 17-13 kind of team, maybe score. I don't think they've scored more than 35 points all season in a game. And so I think Iowa's the best team. And they're on the road, so it may give a little bit of points. So probably 28-10, something like that. But we'll see what happens. But surprisingly, folks, like, we're at the end of the show. And, that's how it works sometimes. it's a Monday night, y'all. Crazy week for me. Yeah, crazy week for me this week. If you haven't seen it, if you look over my shoulder, other side, boop. If I can point correctly, you see the Screaming Eagles jersey for the Army-Navy game. So they're going with the 101st to honor the paratroopers of that era. I think it's pretty cool that they got the old Bastogne thing. And they actually, if you look on the helmet, they've got jump wings too, which is kind of cool. So again, I think...
But they doomed us by putting the snow on the uniforms. That just means it's going to be 300 degrees below zero out there and snowing sideways.
Yeah, it's going to snow. And
it's going to snow.
Yeah, and unlike the the 10th Mountain jerseys, there's not going to camouflage the rest of the team. So, so it'll be interesting to see. I think that's going to be a good one. Quick closeout for the show, though. I have two favorite things this week. We talked about them briefly, touched on them. Sprint football winning. I mean, that's a great program. Like I said, if you're ever on the East Coast and you want to see some a different type of football but still competitive, go watch the Sprint games. I have yet to see a game at Shea Stadium, so that is on my bucket list to do before I get too old. And then cheap plug for the mailing list. Again, we talked about it earlier, and Joe, again, we will publicly thank you for writing our article because it was very good. I think a lot of people are gaining traction, so this is a great opportunity to send an article that may be of interest to someone that you know. So sign up for our mailing list. We send out one email a week, and that week has all this week's content in it, and hopefully the article that Joe wrote or something outstanding that Omar has written so far this season as well can get you guys in there. There's some really good historical articles, and those are usually the ones that tend to like have longer legs.
Yeah. Well, Omar's got another one of those coming out tomorrow.
Yeah. So I think sign up for the mailing list. I think it'll be worth it. And Thomas mentioned, yeah, it used to be called 150-pound football. Yes, it was 150s. That's the 150 jersey that I'm wearing right now. But that was about 65 pounds ago. So, but yeah, it's really something interesting. They did do a college football segment a few years ago. You can find it on YouTube talking about the evolution of lightweight football and how it turned into sprint and everything else. But certainly something to check out if you have the opportunity. But for the crew here at the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable, I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling out Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. We thank you guys for joining us this week. Quick programming note, the Ask for Football Army Football Show is going to be this time on Wednesday. So join us Wednesday. If you're not in the Firsty Club, you may want to decide to join. Yeah.
You got 48 hours.
Yeah, So you're on the clock to accomplish that mission. If not, hey, we will catch you guys on the audio version only. But for the crew here, we'd like to thank you guys again for checking us out, and we will catch you guys next week.
Beat Notre Dame.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.